Chapter 12. Calm in the Storm. Tellson's bank in Paris was in a wing of a large house. The house had belonged to a great nobleman who dressed himself in his cook's dress to get across the borders. The patriots were now in possession of the building and used the other wings for their horrid business. Mr. Lorry occupied rooms in the bank and did his duty for his employers. On the opposite side of the courtyard stood a large grindstone. Mr. Lorry looked at it through his window and then closed the shutters, shivering. The bell at the gate sounded. He was surprised when Lucy and her father rushed through the door. Lucy gasped,
"My dear friend, an errand of kindness brought my husband here unknown to us. He was sent to prison."
Their old friend uttered a cry. Almost at the same moment, the bell rang again and the noise of feet and voices poured into the courtyard.
"What is that noise?" asked the doctor, turning toward the window.
"Don't look out," cried Mr. Lorry.
The doctor gave him a bold smile.
"My friend, I have a charmed life in Paris. My imprisonment in the Bastille has given me power among the patriots. I know I can help Charles."
"Lucy," said Mr. Lorry, "let me put you in a room at the back here. You must not delay."
Lucy let her old friend rush her into his room. He hurried back to the doctor and partially opened the shutter to give him a view into the courtyard. A throng of 40 or 50 men and women poured in to work at the grindstone. With cruel faces they sharpened their weapons. Hatchets, knives, bayonets, and swords were brought to be sharpened, and they were all stained red. When deadly sharp again, the weapons were snatched up and their owners sprinted away into the streets.
"They are murdering prisoners," whispered Mr. Lorry. "If you really have the power to help Charles, make yourself known to these devils and get taken to La Force prison, now."
Dr. Manette hurried out. There was a pause among the crowd as he captured their attention. Then he was escorted out with cries of,
"Long live the Bastille prisoner! Help for the Bastille's prisoner's kin at La Force!"
Mr. Lorry went quickly to Lucy and told her that her father had gone in search of her husband with the people's help. The next day, Mr. Lorry found lodging for his friends high up in a building on a calmer street. After giving them what comfort he could, he left Jerry Cruncher to watch the doorway. Then he returned to the bank. After the bank closed and Mr. Lorry was alone in his rooms, he heard a foot on the stair. In a moment, a man with dark, curling hair stood before him and addressed him by name.
"You have come from Dr. Manette?" Mr. Lorry asked.
"Yes."
Defarge put into his hand a scrap of paper, and the doctor's writing it read,
"Charles is safe, but I cannot safely leave this place yet."
Dr. Manette did not return for 4 days. During that time, 1,100 prisoners were killed by the people. When he arrived at La Force prison, he found a group of men and women who had appointed themselves as the court. Prisoners were brought one by one before the court, and the court decided if they were to be killed, released, or sent back to their cell. The doctor had introduced himself to the court and was identified by one of its members, Defarge. He asked for the release of Charles Darnay, but was told Darnay must remain in prison for now. It was promised he would remain safely. Dr. Manette stayed at the prison and used his skills as a physician wisely. He was soon the inspecting physician of 3 prisoners, including La Force. The doctor saw Lucy's husband weekly and brought home messages to her. He was able to tell her Charles was now allowed to mix with other prisoners. Although the doctor tried hard to get him set free, the public feeling against him was too strong. The new period had begun. The king was tried, doomed, and beheaded by La Guillotine. After 8 months in prison, his wife was also. The hideous figure of the sharp La Guillotine grew familiar, as if it had existed from the beginning of the world. It struck down the once powerful, the beautiful, and the good. Among these terrors walked Dr. Manette with a steady head. No man was better known in Paris than the doctor at that time, or more respected. He never doubted he could save Charles.